Won't you open your Bibles tonight to the book of St. Mark in the New Testament? St. Mark in the New Testament. Also, I'm going to be using John chapter 12 for a companion passage. If you want to go ahead and mark that place. Mark chapter 14 is where I'm going to begin tonight. I'm going to begin reading with verse 3. Mark chapter 14 and verse 3. Very familiar passage in the Scripture tonight. If you found that place, say amen. Those that would like to stand for the reading of God's Word, feel free to do so. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. And verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial unto her. So if for no other reason, the reason I'm preaching this message tonight is because Jesus said to do so. Amen. He said, wherever this gospel's preached, I want this story here to be told. And that's what I want to do tonight. I want to tell the story about the woman and the alabaster box. You may be seated tonight. May the Lord add His blessings to the reading of God's Word. I want to title this message tonight, and I want to take my time here. I think I got a little bit farther to drive than anybody else. We're probably going to drive back into the Carolinas tonight, amen, and I didn't get to preach the other night, so I really feel like I need to obey the Lord and deliver my heart to you tonight, amen. I'm telling you, the Lord stirred me up this morning, and in that message, I want to preach to us tonight. I don't know, I might even use this for an illustration right here tonight. Looks like a bottle of anointing oil here. But I want to preach to us just a little while tonight, entitled this message, The Bottle of Opportunity. The Bottle of Opportunity. Every one of us has opportunities in this life. Every one of us has something that we can do for the kingdom of God. A lot of times we say, well, I'm just sitting around here killing a little time today. We don't kill time. We kill opportunities. Every one of us has been given an opportunity. Every one of us has been given a talent. Every one of us has a purpose in life. God formed us before we knew ourselves, and God doesn't make a mistake. And every one of us that's in here has a purpose and a divine call. You have an opportunity to do something for Jesus. And I want to preach just a little while tonight on the bottle of opportunity. Now, notice here in Mark chapter 14, the Bible says that being in the house of Simon the leper as he sat at meat. In other words, Jesus is sitting in the house of Simon the leper. Now, if you'll actually study an earlier part of Mark, I believe that this is possibly the leper that came to Jesus, and the Bible said, and Jesus touched him and healed him. Nevertheless, this was Simon who was a leper, but he has been cleansed by the power of God. And here is Jesus as he turns in and resorts unto the house of Simon the ex-leper, and the Bible said he's sitting at the table at meat with Simon the leper. Now, those lepers used to have to be on the outside of society. They were excommunicated from the villages. But once Jesus came by and healed him, he's back inside of his house again. He got his family back. He got his life back. That's what happens when Jesus touches us. Amen. Here's Jesus sitting at the table with one of his miracles. Man, isn't it wonderful to know that God's a miracle-working God? I mean, nobody, the doubting Pharisees and the doubting Sadducees, they didn't know what to do with that, because there's Jesus sitting at the table with one of his great miracles, eating there at that table. Now, go with me, if you will, to the book of John. John chapter 12 tells the same story, and I want to maybe shine a little more light on the story here out of the book of John. Verse 1 says, "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead." Not only was Jesus sitting at the table with a miracle of a man that was cleansed from leprosy, but Jesus is sitting at the table with an ex-dead man. He's sitting there with a man that had been dead for 4 days. His sisters had testified, "Master, he stinketh now." Oh, but he's not stinking anymore. Would someone get me a little bit of water? Praise God, if that's all right. He's not stinking anymore because God has healed him of his leprosy. God has healed him of his, not leprosy, but of his dead condition. Now he's sitting at the table with Jesus, eating. Kind of reminds me of when we were dead in trespasses and sin. Heard a preacher preach one time on how that sin stinks, amen. But once we come in contact with God, we don't stink anymore. Praise God. Amen. The blood of Jesus, it will wash and cleanse us. Amen. I like what the Apostle Paul said. He's talking about sin. And he said, "And such were some of you." He said, "But we've been washed." Praise God. Aren't you glad you had a bath in the blood of Jesus? Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Two great miracles sitting at the table with Jesus. But in walks what I feel, and it's my commentary, that is a greater miracle than either of Simon the leper or Lazarus, whom was raised from the dead. But the Bible said that they made him a supper there, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table. Verse 3 said, "And then took Mary." I like what Mark said. Mark said, "And in came a woman with an alabaster box." The thing that makes Mary different from Lazarus and Simon is the fact that Simon and Lazarus had received something from the Lord. But this woman here is not coming in to receive anything from the Lord. She's coming to bring something for the Lord and to the Lord. There's a lot of people that say, give me, Lord, and help me, Lord, and bless me. That's all right. But God's looking for someone who's willing to give back to Him, who's willing to work for Him and empty out their bottle of opportunity while they have time for the kingdom of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There's no doubt. Now, you can't tell me that there's not a whole lot of excitement that's going on in this house. I mean, here is Mary and Martha's brother that was raised from the dead. I mean, they. Have you ever considered that? Have you ever considered that Lazarus was given a second chance on life? You ever considered that Lazarus had an opportunity to go back and tell his loved ones what maybe he didn't have the chance to tell them before he died? You ever thought about Lazarus had an opportunity to really maybe get back on his knees and really pray and get a hope from something from God? We probably won't ever have that opportunity, so we better take advantage of the opportunity we have right now to do all that we can for the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, my brother. I don't normally like to drink water and all, but I tell you, my throat feels kind of dry. So if you'll excuse me tonight. Not amen. Praise God. Here walks in the greatest miracle. This woman who came not to receive, but she comes to give something to Christ. The excitement that's in the air, the family members just glad to have their dead loved ones raised back to life. Here is the very Son of God. Here is the very Messiah, and they are very aware that this is the Christ, those that are in that room, because He has just recently raised the dead, and many Jews had believed on Jesus. But the Bible said that in walks Mary, and she comes in that room with a pound of ointment, verse 3, a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus. Hear me now. While Jesus is in the house of Simon the leper, I don't know. Some people said that Simon was Lazarus' father. I don't know that. But all I do know is somehow Mary somewhere had kept back a bottle of ointment of spikenard that was very, very precious. It was not something that was cheap. It was very costly. I like what David said. David said, I'll not offer or sacrifice anything unto the Lord that doth not cost me something. Amen. God's wanting something that is very precious. God's wanting our very best. Hallelujah. We don't know why. We don't know how Mary acquired this bottle of perfume. We don't know that whether maybe her mother had passed it down through the generations. Some Bible scholars tell us that it was almost valued as much as a year's wage. You say, how much was that? That's really irrelative, immaterial. How much do you make a year? Well, that's what it was worth to her. It was worth a lot of money. It was very valuable. And maybe she had labored in the fields. Maybe she had, by the sweat of her brow, she had labored and saved her money up for the day that she was going to get married. Maybe she had saved it as somewhat of a retirement plan. Maybe she, I don't know why, but I do know that she was the owner of a bottle of spikenard that was very precious. It was very costly. And when she seen what the Lord had done for her brother, when she seen what the Lord had done for her family, she makes her way probably into her bedroom, maybe hid away somewhere, and she pulls out that bottle of spikenard. She's got something inside of her heart saying, why don't you do something for Jesus? Why don't you give him back after he's done so much for you? Hallelujah. I know there was perfume in that bottle. There was spikenard in that bottle. There was ointment in that bottle. Very precious. But I believe when Mary went to wherever she had that bottle hid in her house, she looked at that bottle not as perfume, not as ointment, but she looked at it as a bottle of opportunity. Something that she had that she could give to Jesus. What do you have that could help the kingdom of God? Oh, you say, man, what could I do? There's a lot that you could do. Everybody can do something for the kingdom of God. We was there in London, Kentucky, and another pastor was telling me about a little lady that got sick. She was bedridden, said she hadn't been to church in weeks. She had gotten very sick, and he said he went to check on her. He said he noticed that some new people had been coming into the sanctuary. New people had been showing up on Sundays and said some of them had even gotten saved. And said he went to see this little sister. He'd visited her a few times. And he said on this occasion when he was there, said he looked over by the little cot where she had been bedridden. There was a phone book and a pen and some paper. And he asked her, he said, sister, what have you been doing? She said, well, I've been here bedridden, couldn't come to church. She said, so I got to thinking, what could I do for the King? And she said, I just started going down the A's in the phone book, calling everybody on the local listening, telling them that God loved them, and that we had a little church and they needed to be saved. Hey, I'm telling you, she had an opportunity and she did something for God. What are you doing for Jesus? She had an opportunity to do something for Jesus. Mary is very aware that Jesus is passing by the last time. He won't be coming back this way again. She's very aware that He is the Christ. When He raised Lazarus, right before He raised Lazarus from the dead, when she ran out to meet Him, she fell at His feet and she called Him Lord. She did not call Him Jesus. She called Him Lord. She was very aware that He was God in the flesh. And here Mary, realizing Jesus Himself even testified, said, she has come aforehand to anoint my body for the burying. Mary was well aware that Jesus was going to give His life a ransom. And she said, man, what I do for Him, I better do it quickly. I better pour my bottle of ointment. I better break the seal on the opportunity that I have. And don't hesitate. But give it to Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, Nicodemus brought spices and ointment to the grave of Jesus. And that was a kind deed. But in a sense, it was a sacrifice too late. He was already dead. A lot of times we wait till our loved ones are gone to give them the roses. Don't wait till your life is over to try to pour yourself out for Jesus. Now is your opportunity to do something for God. Don't wait until your body is physically unable. Do all you can for Jesus. Now pour yourself out as a sacrifice unto God. I'm preaching to you tonight about the bottle of opportunity. Notice here, very precious bottle that she brings out, but the cost doesn't matter to her. She enters this room of a lot of excitement. Jesus resorting there. The room with a lot of heroes of faith there. Miracles there. But here enters this woman, Mary. And she comes to the feet of Jesus. Notice here in verse 3. And it said that she brought this pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly. And she anointed the feet of Jesus. She anointed the feet of Jesus. And she wiped His feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. I mean, can you see this woman bowed with humility? Can you see this woman with tears streaming down her face as she realizes this is God's own son? This is not Joseph's son. This is God. This is holy, divine being. This is God's only begotten son. And He raised my brother from the dead. And with tears in her eyes, she makes her way to the feet of Jesus and begins to anoint. Notice here, the Bible said, anointed the feet of Jesus. Now, that is a direct location. She began to anoint the feet of Jesus. Limited proportions. When someone comes to be anointed, we take a little bit of that oil and put it on our finger and we place it upon their head and we anoint them according to the Scriptures. Amen. When someone says they anointed His feet, that means that was His feet and it was in limited proportions. I don't know. You might argue with me here, and that's all right. But Mary, I believe, started at the feet of Jesus just like John here, and she began to dash that precious ointment out on His feet. She began to rub His feet. She began to wipe His feet with her long flowing hair. I mean, there's tears running down her face as she anoints His feet. But I believe that she's so overwhelmed with the joy and the love and compassion that she has. She said, man, why don't I just anoint Him again? And why don't I anoint Him again? And she gave Him a little more, and her heart's welling. And then Matthew and Mark said, I believe she rose to her feet, broke the bottle over His head, and said, I'm going to give Him all. I'm going to give Him every drop. And she emptied the bottle on Him. She said, I'm going to give Him all. And she poured that entire pound of ointment out on our Savior. She gave Him all. She emptied that bowl of opportunity. When the door swung open, she made a dash for that door. When the opportunity availed itself, she stepped through that door of opportunity. You know, there's so many people there forever gonna do something. You know, they always got great plans. I mean, they're going to the mission field. I mean, they're going to start a prison ministry. I mean, they're gonna start a bus ministry. I mean, they're going to start memorizing Scripture. I mean, they're going to start street ministry. I mean, they're going to start doing it. And they always go, you know, and tomorrow don't seem like it ever gets here. It's always today. It don't ever happen. But Mary didn't say, well, maybe I got another day. Maybe I got another week. She said, right now I have the opportunity. Let me give it to Jesus. And you know, I thought this morning as that preacher was preaching how true it was. He said that, you know, we don't need just the Spirit of God to make it to another service and the Spirit of God to make it to another service. Some people want, whoo, I want the Holy Ghost. Man, that man, did you see that fella shout? Man, I like to see him shout. Did you see that and spin? I mean, I love to worship God, but you know, that's not why God gives us power. He gives us power to go out into this world and win the lost. God didn't pour out the Holy Ghost so we could entertain one another with how we shout. God poured out the Holy Ghost so that when we're witnessing to that sinner, it'll pierce their heart and cause them to come to Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of people says we need more power, more power. We need more power. No, we need to use the power that we have. You don't need a 400 horse diesel motor to pull a little red wagon. Why does God need to give you power when you never tell anybody about Jesus? Why does God need to anoint you when you never try to lead anybody to Christ? You need to make sure that when you meet God, your bottle of opportunity is not full. You better make sure that seal is broke and it has been emptied. God has not called us to be keepers of the aquarium, but He's called us to be fishers of men. Go ye into all the world. And you know, you say, man, there's, you know, there's just not a whole lot I can do. You know, I mean, but you know what? There's always just a little something you can. Did you know Jesus said, if we give one of His servants a cup of water in His name, He said we not lose our reward. Amen. Glory to God. They stood in the judgment, the sheep on the right, the goats on the left. He said, man, I was naked and you clothed me. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you had. He said, Lord, when did we do that? He said, when you did it unto the least of these, you did it unto me. And I, along with that brother this morning, there's a lot of times we view this world, man. You got yourself into this mess. Get yourself out. You made your bed hard. Lay in it. But that ain't what Jesus said. Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. Hallelujah to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Kick this drink over. Amen. Praise God. God's called us to make a difference in this world. And the little things that we do can make a big difference. They said D.L. Moody, that great evangelist, said his mother used to kneel down in front of him and hold that Bible in front of him and say, D.L., this is the Word of God. This is the Holy Word of God. D.L. had a drunk for a dad, but that mama said, man, this is the Holy Word of God, D.L. You need to love this Word. You need to read this Word. And you know what? That mama, just those few words and that impact she had, she impacted him to be one of the greatest evangelists in this world. I tell you, never underestimate mom. I know you got those children all in your lap, and we got four of them, and sometimes it gets hectic. But man, be obedient to God. Do what you can. Raise them children in church. I know it's a job. But you're pouring out your bottle of opportunity into those precious children. Hallelujah. I always thought about Jesus, man. He's there getting ready to feed the multitude. He said, man, does anybody here have any food? And those disciples said, Lord, man, no. I mean, all these people high in the world. And one of those disciples spoke up and said, there's a lad here with two fishes and five loaves. And he said, what is that among so many? Jesus said, you bring it here. It's little, but with me, little is much. And I thought about Sister Judy that morning. Probably that mom had taken her time out to fix that little boy a lunch because she was concerned about that little boy. And such a little simple thing that she did that morning, just making those few pieces of bread and those couple of fishes, and she packed that thing in that little lunch. So simple, so insignificant, but God took that little simple thing that she did, and God fed 5,000. I mean, it was so little, but God used it mightily for His kingdom. And Brother Peach, they ate fish that day that had never swam in the water. And they ate bread that had never been baked in the oven. Because of the little things. Don't you never let the devil tell you it don't matter. It's infinite. You run that vacuum cleaner. You cut that grass. Amen. Pour your bottle out while you have time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I mean, God has called us to make a difference in this world. You ever thought why God didn't call angels? I mean, angels seem like we do a whole lot better than we are. But God didn't call angels, Brother Prescott. Oh, no. I mean, God called you and I. I often wondered why. But I tell you why. There ain't never been an angel hung on crack cocaine. There ain't never been an angel hung on the Bible and bound by sin. But you and I have. And God wants somebody that's been there. God wants somebody that knows how it feels to be bound by sin, but to be redeemed. Those angels ain't never been there, but we have. That's why we need to go to this world, pour out our bottle, and say, I know the remedy to your problem. Hallelujah to God. Woo! Man, if I had a voice, I'd preach tonight. Hallelujah to God. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. But God's called you and I. I like what Jude said in some, having compassion, making a difference. Don't you remember when Jesus looked out at the multitude? I thought about this morning while that good pastor was preaching. Jesus looked out at that multitude, and you know, any time that you got a multitude of people, they're not all good folks. I imagine when Jesus looked out in that multitude, there were liars in that multitude. He said he didn't know. Oh, yeah, he knew. His humanity didn't know, but his divinity knew. Glory to God. Amen. Kind of like when he's in the ship asleep that night on that stormy sea. Yeah, his humanity was asleep, but his divinity never sleeps. He was aware. Hallelujah to God. Woo! I feel like preaching and God help me tonight. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But I believe that God wants us to do what we can for Jesus. He looked out at that multitude and there were liars, there were thieves, there was murderers. And a great multitude, no doubt there were many sins. And the Bible said, and when he looked at the multitude, he was moved with compassion. When that punk rocker at the grocery store with the purple hair and the earring in his ear ain't nothing but a punk that gets on your nerves and gets under your skin, and you wish he'd go somewhere and fall off the end of the earth, you need revival. He ain't nothing but just a punk that mashes the bread in your bag. You need revival. Because Jesus is moved with compassion. I didn't say condone their sin, but you could be the only instrument that stands between that young boy and hell. You need to pour out your bottle and tell him about a Savior that died for his sins. Hallelujah to God. Notice here, I'm telling you, man, I mean, God's wanting us to do a work for Him. It told me about during the end of the World War II that when the Allies went into France to liberate them behind the Axis power, they said those Allies had to bomb their way into France to break that Iron Curtain, if you will. And they were bombing in there, and they said they had bombed one of those churches where those Axis powers was there hiding out. Used to come when they bombed that church. They said by the impact there, that there was a large statue of Jesus that was standing out in front of that church. And from that impact, that statue had fell over and broke the hands off of the statue of Jesus. Some of those Allies coming through, a couple of those boys stood that statue of Jesus back up, and his arms, his hands were broke off, just the nubs sticking out there. One of those old soldier boys sat down and wrote on a little piece of a plaque there, hung it out on those nubs, these words: He has no hands but our hands. What are you doing for Jesus? I believe that one of the questions he may ask us on Judgment Day is this: I gave you a life. What did you do with it? Oh, preacher, man, I played the guitar. Well, praise God. Oh, preacher, man, I worked 30 years at the plant. Man, I got a good retirement. I mean, man, I made a lot of money, man. I mean, I got some fine children. What have you done for Jesus? Mark chapter 14 and verse 4, the statement was made, why this waste of the ointment made? But you know what Jesus did not realize? That was not a waste. That was worship. And you know, it's a sad day when our Pentecostal people are telling their young folks, oh man, do anything, be anything but a preacher. I mean, be a doctor, be a lawyer, be anything. Don't you get in the kingdom, man, you get your feelings hurt. Man, you won't remember to hear me. There is no higher calling than to pour your life out for the kingdom of God. I love my girls. I love to see them go to the mission field. I'd love to see them work for God and pour out their bottle of opportunity. You say, be a doctor. Doctors only prolong life. But we preserve life for the eternal ages. Take that heart out. Put some new arteries in there. Put some stents in. Put a new ice fire. But you will die after a while. But if you live for Christ, you will live forever. Praise God. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Glory to God. Praise God. Woo! Hallelujah. Many of you ministry, many of you the gospel working for the kingdom as a waste. So did Judas. There'll always be somebody that'll pop up when you say, let's set up a tent. Let's get a bus ministry. Let's go canvass and into the neighborhood. Somebody will always pop up and say, how much is it going to cost? And then they'll say, it's too expensive. There's always somebody that'll say, it's a waste. But what's the value of a man's soul? What is the worth of a soul? Oh, God, I don't know how long I got to live on this earth. And I know, God touched me this morning in this place. I mean, convicted my heart. I've been in the prison cells. I mean, I've preached the gospel. I've tried to carry. I've won people on the streets. I've won people on my job. I've won some of those boys in the prison cells. But I tell you what I want to do. I want to do more. Brother Prescott, I want to pour every drop out of my bottle of opportunity. I want to do all I can for the kingdom of God. I was preaching a revival down toward Myrtle Beach, and about the second night of that revival, I tell you that. Noticed a whole string of young people come into church, and they filled up the second pew. There was 11 of those teenagers. Man, I looked at them, and they were poorly dressed. And God gave me a message that night. I preached on hell, and I mean, I preached it hot, boy. I mean, I preached it just as hot as I could get the burners to turn up. I mean, when I gave that altar call, every one of those 11 teenagers come out of that altar and they filled that altar up. And I got down praying with them and I could smell, you could smell. They had a bath. I mean, they had holes in their knees. And I mean, they just poorly dressed. And man, they prayed. I mean, they prayed. When we pulled the Kleenexes out, it was a snotting and a crying and praying. I mean, them young people prayed through on that altar. I mean, when they got up, Brother Prescott, every one of them young people testify that God had saved them. Man, I was curious, man. I went to the pastor. I said, "Pastor, what's going on?" He said, "Did you see that lady that came in and sit down on that pew?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "She came to me about 2 months ago and said, 'Preacher,' she said, 'I just got a burden for lost people.' And said, 'We got a van out behind the church that we drive to revivals and we drive here and we drive there.' And she said, 'There's not a whole lot going on with it.' She said, 'Would you mind me taking that van and seeing if I could find some people to come to church?' He said, 'Well, sure.' While everybody else was home eating carrots and potatoes and fried chicken, she was out beating down bumpy dirt roads, picking up children, taking them home. She'd went down to Crack Alley, I mean, where drugs and prostitution, moms and dads throw children away, and she had brought them teenagers in. You know what she did? She did what she could for the kingdom of God. You say, 'Preacher, those 11 kids will be stars in your crown.' I believe they'll be stars in her crown. I wouldn't have never got to preach to them if she hadn't been willing to sacrifice. What are you doing for the kingdom of God? Come to church, fuss a little bit if the temperature isn't right, fuss if the music isn't right, fuss if the preacher preaches too long. I think it's time that we make a difference with our lives. She poured the whole bottle on his head, every drop, because she said he was worth it. The cost didn't matter. Oh, God, help us that we'd realize that we have a bottle of opportunity, but every time that heart beats, it's one less opportunity, one less beat that you got. You better get up and shake the dust of lethargy, shake the dust of complacency off, and work for God while you have time. Glory to God. Jennifer, you or Vicky, come to the piano. I'm fixing to close here. I'm about finishing my voice off. Man. I'm glad that Jesus, when he was looking at the cross, he didn't feel like the price was too great. I'm glad somebody said that Jesus could have just shed one drop of blood and went back and it had been enough. But not so. He shed one drop of blood at the whipping post upon the pain of that cat of nine tails. Splattered and sprinkled blood all around that whipping post. But he didn't just come to shed one drop. He came to empty his veins. He's going all the way to the top of Calvary. And he's going to give all for you and for me. And that's what we need to give to Jesus. We got a good friend of ours named Katie. She adopted a little boy named Jacob. Play real soft, Jen. Adopted a boy named Jacob. And Jacob was given away by his mom at birth. He had never seen his birth mom. He's 7 years old. Just had a birthday. Of course, Katie had told him that his mom had given him away, and she was just his foster parent. And on Jacob's 7th birthday, he got a card in the mail from his birth mom. Hadn't heard from her in 7 years. No contact or nothing. But in the mailbox on his 7th birthday was a birthday card from his real birth mom. Katie said she handed that card to little Jacob. Said he opened that wrapping. Open that card. Pull that card out. She said when he flipped that thing open and read that, she said his little eyes got real big. She said he started jumping up and down. He started running through the house. Said just having a fit almost. Said when she finally got him calmed down, she said, "Jacob, why are you so happy?" Said he reached inside of that envelope. Or inside of that card, and kind of a little mischievous look, Katie said, he pulled out a dollar bill. And he said, "I know my real mama loves me because she sent me a dollar." I'm glad God didn't just send us a dollar. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave heaven's best. And all He's asking us to do is tell somebody that I love Him. Tell somebody about me. Glory to God. We only have one life to live. You better make sure you do what you want to do for Jesus while you can. Brother Lovitz, great missionary to Africa. Some of you may know him. Years ago, Brother Lovett was in Africa preaching, and he's preaching in a little village. And he said on the outskirts of that village was a little leper camp. It had little pieces of tin leaned up in the shrub bushes and with pieces of cloth. And he said he was there preaching the gospel one Saturday. And he said he noticed there were some lepers standing out up under the shades of those trees listening to the gospel he was preaching. And he said he didn't think a whole lot about it. But he said that Sunday they were in church. He said the Spirit of God was moving and working. And said all of a sudden, he said the back doors of the church opened. And he said in walked one of those black hooded veiled lepers. He said everybody in that church turned and looked. And that woman made her way down the aisle of that church into the front. He said, and he looked, and there was fingers gone. Said that leprosy had eaten fingers, and said she just had nubs, and said she didn't have any shoes on her feet, and that leprosy had eaten toes off of her feet. Brother Lovett later on found out that her name was Antsy. Said Antsy brought that. Said she had a big old sack across her back. Said she brought that thing down to the altar. She laid that sack on the altar and said she stood there. You could tell she was praying to God. Said after a while she turned and walked out of the church. And after service he went and he opened that sack. And he said in that sack was peanuts. She didn't have $100 bill. She didn't have a lot of money she could give to the kingdom. She didn't have a ministry. She was an outcast, but she heard about Jesus. And she dug in the ground with those nubs, and she raised those peanuts. And that's all she had, and she brought them to Jesus. What are you doing for the kingdom of God? When you stand before Him, what are you going to have to offer Jesus? E. Stanley Jones went up in the mountains of India, great missionary, and he said he went up in there to one of those hospitals, and he said they got up into the hospital up in the top of the mountain there. He said there was people sick, and it was just a tent there. And he said, man, there was sickness. And E. Stanley Jones had carried some of the people from his church with him, some deacons and stuff. And he said they made their way through that hospital tent. And he said when they got to the far end of that tent, he said to their surprise, there was an American woman. And said she was down on her knees. She was washing the feet of one of those sick women from India. E. Stanley Jones said one of those men that was with him looked at her and that American down on her knees said, man, I wouldn't do that for $1 million. Said that American lady looked back up at that man and said, I wouldn't do it for $1 million either. She said, but I'd do it for Jesus. May the same Spirit that got a hold to Mary, that she said, I'm going to give Jesus all. Let us realize that we have one life to live. There's a bottle of opportunity that we have. We better do all we can for Jesus. I want every one of us to make our way to this altar right now. Right now, just slip up from where you at, and I want us to come.